is the campus pastor at our campus down in El Salvador, and we flew him and his wife, Jacqueline. Jacqueline, would you stand, please? And we're so glad we flew them up this weekend to be a part of tonight. And I was visiting with him. They're staying with us this weekend, and was visiting with him about what God is doing in El Salvador, Plan del Pino, Rush Creek South. And so I asked him to just tell us a little bit of what God is doing down there, Pastor.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. Good morning. And thank you for your generosity, because I know that our Lord is touching your heart, with, especially now with Unleashed. And we are doing great things in El Salvador together. Pastor Ryan and Pastor Gary came to El Salvador this year. We had strong campaigns because we are going to work there, but very strong campaigns. So we are doing so many things there. We are reaching almost 600 kids and teenagers now.
Yeah. So we started this partnership 9 years ago, and reaching a couple hundred children, and now over 600 children.
Yeah, 600, yeah. Directly, way, because sometimes kids come to the church, but they are bringing their brothers too. So in campaigns, it's incredible. A lot of people come in because also we work with the community. Mm-hmm. And with Unleashed, we are planning to reach all the public and private schools in the whole Plan del Pino.
Now, we've built, I think, 17 homes down there. There's a picture of a before.
We built 17 houses.
And an after right there.
As you could see before, it is the old house.
Yeah.
And I remember when we came here, and I went to visit the family, and they're living four girls. And I said, hey, look, we need to pray, but hey, we need to leave the house because it fell down maybe.
And just corrugated steel leaning up against. Yeah.
And we pray for them. And you know, this is the old house. And we built 17 houses now. We have the same model, 4x4 meters,
yeah,
and a corridor, but are safe. And now this is the house. On last campaign with Pastor Gary, we went to visit three houses, and we pray for families. And we appreciate that all your generosity. And with Unleashed, I know that it's a Lord idea for all of us to reach another level. We need to reach another level.
You were telling me that in Plan del Pino, extremely impoverished, certainly by American standards, 50% of the women and 70% of the men are unemployed, right?
Yes.
And but we have workshops that you're teaching them some trades and skills.
Yes, we have different kind of workshops. We have a shoemaker now. We are planning to produce maybe 100 pair of shoes for Christmas gift on December. And also we have jewelry. We sent to you 600 necklaces.
Yeah.
For ladies, at a special event that you had weeks ago.
Right.
We are trying to teach our people that it's not necessary to have a formal job, because it's impossible in this moment in our country. So they are starting their own business.
Uh-huh.
So I believe that with the Lord's support, with your generosity, we are changing lives.
What about the young lady who you thought about coming on and helping you at the church?
I asked a young lady to join us in our staff, but I offer a salary. And she told me, hey, Pastor, I'm making $25 or $30 every day because I am attending some school. And I said, how much? $25. That's good in El Salvador. $30. Excellent. Minimum salary is $300. She told me, I'm making $30 a day every day.
$300 a year.
Yeah. So I said, oh, okay. I congratulate her, and I said, okay, it's impossible. I can't pay you. But if you want, you can come as a volunteer. But she's a volunteer. Yes, a volunteer. And also, I told her, hey, I congratulate you, but I invited you to give tithes to the church.
Tithes on the $30 a
yeah,
day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, because we need to multiplicate the gospel.
So you guys are involved in Unleashed. So the next slide up has got, Liberado is a rough translation of Unleashed, right?
Yeah.
And so with many of your people unemployed and $300 a year is the salary that many of them get?
Monthly.
Monthly, okay. Monthly. So how are they responding to this idea of Unleashed and generosity to a new level?
They responded very well because it's a good initiative, and I explained to them that it's a Lord initiative because we can do it too. Mm-hmm. I invited to the whole church to engagement 100% with that. 100%. Because we need to share the gospel, we need funds. For example, if we have a special celebration with kids in public schools, obviously we will and we share the gospel, but we need to share with them some piñatas or candies or some snacks. So there are some schools that they are calling to us.
Public schools.
Public schools. Yeah. Calling to me and Pastor, we need your support here in our schools. Also, I send letters to hospitals, public hospitals, and they answer me because we want to share the gospel with the people inside the hospital, not only the people, with the nurses, with doctors, and you know, but we will use something special and special gift for patients, like, for example, toilet papers and soaps, not soup, soaps.
So we were discussing the difference between soup and soap in English and Spanish.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you pray for Unleashed for all of our campuses? Would you do that?
Yes. Okay. Let's pray about Unleashed. Thank you, Lord, because Unleashed is an initiative that is coming from you to all of us, because we need to step. We need to reach next level, but we need that you, Holy Spirit, to touch all our hearts with our generosity, but also with our testimony. Mm. We need to share the gospel everywhere around the world. We need to ask to you, what is Unleashed for me? What I need to do, what I have to do, what I need to change in my life. Thank you, Lord, because we know that you all the time, you are with all of us here and around the world. We know that we need to take risks, but we are not alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you sent your Son to die instead of us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Give him a hand, will you? Thank you.
Beginning, nurturing, growing, training. All that has happened before has been preparation for something unforeseen. But now it's obvious. It's time. Are you ready?
So in the early 1950s, a young man by the name of Jim Elliot met a missionary from Ecuador and heard about the Auca Indians, and particularly a tribe that was the Wanarabis, I think is the name of the tribe, very dangerous, very deadly. And they were separated because of that. They were separated from the gospel. There was no gospel witness to this tribe in the deep, dark jungles of Ecuador. And so Jim was going to Wheaton College up in Chicago, him and some other young men began praying that God would raise up somebody to send to the Auca Indians to share the gospel of Jesus, for the light to penetrate the darkness, and for God's name to be worshiped even among that group of people. Well, after a time of praying, of months, maybe even years, they began to sense that God was telling them to go. So after much prayer, they decided they would move down to Ecuador. They moved their families down there, a little mission post outside of Quito, the capital. And they were working on a strategy on how to get the gospel to this isolated people group. They flew their one-engine Cessna over a place they discovered where there was an enclave of them, dropped out some gifts onto the sand, the beach of this river. They kind of went back by and waved the wings so that the Indians would know that it was come from the plane, and maybe they would figure out this meant that it was a good thing. They, inside the boxes or the packages that they dropped were with some food and some trinkets and some nice things. And so they did that a couple of times, and then they formed this skill where they would fly their plane around in a circle with a long rope with a gift on the end of it. And at first the box would be going like this, but as the plane continued to circle and they let the rope down longer, eventually it was just kind of almost stationary, just hovering above the sand. And they did that until some of the tribe came out, and they took that way they knew that it was coming from the plane. They flew off. And so they continued to do this for a while, and then the day came and they prayed about it. January the 2nd, 1956, they landed their plane on the beach. They used a bullhorn, megaphone, called into the jungle with what few words of that language they knew, calling for them to come out, that it was safe, that they wanted to talk to them. They had gifts for them. Eventually, two or three came out of the jungle and took those gifts. And so they were all excited about this, and they wanted to go back again in a few days, land the plane, and continue on this dialogue, building trust and relationships so they could eventually carry the gospel light across. And so on January the 8th, they land their plane on the beach. After a couple hours, the wives at the station, at the mission post, had not heard from them. They began to suspect that something was wrong, tried to reach them on the radio, couldn't. A plane flew by. They sent another plane, flew by, saw that the original plane that these guys had traveled on was all torn apart on the beach. And so they suspected that maybe there had been something gone awry, but hoping maybe they were hiding in the jungle. And so the next day, a combination party of military, Ecuadorian military and United States military made a trip into the deep, dark jungle, and their worst fears were confirmed. All five men had been killed by the Auca Indians. And so when the news got out, the names of these five men, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Roger Yodarian, and Peter Fleming, their names were flashed literally around the world and in every newspaper. And these brave men were mourned in churches across America. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. We're going to be examining verses 27 through 31 this morning. It's page 36 in your book. I know you brought your book. And the book is important because you know what? The Holy Spirit may speak to you in this series. And if he speaks, you need to write it down. And sometimes it's reflecting back on a message that the Spirit then has access to your thoughts and your meditation, and he'll point something out to you. So let me encourage you to take notes. The book itself has all kinds of details. I can't get into the details, all the details about Unleashed, but I've been told over and over again how helpful it has been to kind of fill in the blanks about what this vision is and how God has called us to it. So let me encourage you to get that book, study that book, pray through that book, because Unleashed is a grand opportunity for our church, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's a generosity initiative, a two-year generosity initiative that will enable us to cooperate with God to achieve the vision that He has given us to make a greater impact for Him and to push back the darkness in this world better and faster. Now, there's a lot of darkness in this world, am I right? Whether you're talking about what's going on in Las Vegas, or whether you're talking about the sex trafficking that's going on in our own city, or whether you're talking about some of the carnage that's going around on in places like Syria and other places, lots of darkness. The world really doesn't know why there's darkness like this, and it certainly doesn't have the answer to push back the darkness. But we have the answer. His name is Jesus. And we have this privilege, and we have this responsibility to push back the darkness by carrying the gospel, to push it back better and faster than we ever have before. Our primary goal in Unleashed is 100% engagement. What that means is each of us and all of us asking the question, honestly saying, Lord, what is your role for me in Unleashed? If you will pray that honestly to the Lord, I don't care if you've been here a little or a lot, but if every one of us were to pray that prayer, say, Lord, what is your role for me in Unleashed? And then listen for Him. Pay attention to Him. Then He's going to speak to you. And the gospel is going to be unleashed out of Rush Creek like never before. And our surrender is going to go to a new level. Our faith is going to go to a new level. Our generosity is going to go to a new level. And it's going to set Rush Creek on a trajectory that's totally different than what we are now. And it's going to change this church, all of us together, individually as well. It's going to change us for generations to come. That's our primary goal. Our secondary goal is $22 million. That's a big number. Now, the next 2 years, according to the generosity that you have been displaying and demonstrating the last couple of years, we would expect, without Unleashed, about a $14 million revenue coming in the next two. But Unleashed, this is God put it on our hearts as your leadership. We've been praying about it since last November to move that dial up, move that bar up to $22 million. And it's going to take all of us to get from the 14 to the 22. Each and every one of us. Now remember, we have this three-pronged attack to push back the darkness better and faster. The first prong of the attack is to unleash the power. The power plant of any church is its ongoing ministries. And we have great ongoing ministries. You serve in many of these day in, day out, week in, week out. But there's so much more we could be doing if we had more resources. And so our first prong is to increase our resources into our ongoing ministries. The second prong of the attack is unleashing the potential. This is our expanding our footprint in this part of God's world. This is expanding the Mira Lagos campus. They are running 25% ahead of last year at that campus. They're in three services now, trying to figure out how to go to four services. It also is helping us come alongside churches that are struggling and about to close the door, and we can't stand the thought that God placed a church there to be a gospel light in this community. We can't stand the thought of that church closing its doors. And so as God gives us grace and God gives us direction and permission, we want to partner with those churches. And also to possibly buy some tracts of land in areas of this part of God's world where we can hold them for a while and then build on them in years to come as houses are being built. That would be like in the 360, 287 area, maybe the Midlothian area, those kinds of areas. And then the third prong of our attack is unleash the people. And this is kind of the mission arm of what we're doing. This is investing more resources in places like El Salvador and Portland and Moldova and Spain and other places like that. And so it's going to take all of us. It's going to take each of us. It's going to take all of us to take our faith and our surrender and our generosity to a new level. And what an opportunity God has given us. I'm so pumped about it. Now, we've been studying the very first church on the pages of the book of Acts. I don't know if you've studied the book of Acts lately, but it's an exciting book. It tells the story of the spreading of the gospel and the acts of the Holy Spirit as he is empowering his believers to share that gospel and take it to the four corners of the earth. That's what we talked about in week number one in Acts 1:8. Jesus said, listen, you guys, this little band of 30 or 40 people, you are going to be my witnesses when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you are going to take my gospel message, my gospel light, to the four corners of the earth. And they were absolutely engaged in that mission, responsibility, and privilege. And every church, every New Testament church, has that same privilege and that same responsibility. That's our mission. That's why we exist. That's why we exist. Now, I read years ago, somebody said, any church that has lost sight of its mission has lost its way. Any church that has lost sight of its mission has lost its way. And I've said this before, I'll say it again, it's been documented over and over again, between 5,000 and 7,000 churches in the United States of America are closing their doors every year. And why is that? Because they have lost their way. They have lost sight of the mission. Well, not Rush Creek. We're not going to let that happen here. Amen? Amen. So week number two, we talked about the fact that for us to be fully engaged, we've got to be engaged with each other. It's a together thing. Remember this? They were all together. What? Together. They were all together, together. They bound together to pray for one another and learn from one another and encourage one another. Why? For their own sakes? No. For the sake of the gospel, to carry the gospel light to the four corners of the world. And we are standing here today. I'm standing here. You're sitting here today because they were engaged with each other and engaged in the mission that Jesus gave them. And so this morning, now in phase number three then of Unleashed, we're going to take a look at their boldness. The boldness that they prayed for, the boldness that they displayed, and the things that God did as a result. Now, if you have your Bibles open, look at verses 19 and 20, because I want you to get to this point. Let me tell you, let me set it up for you, okay? They were praying for boldness. They were displaying boldness. And the religious leaders, that the same ones who had crucified Jesus, were really starting to come down hard on these guys. And one day, Peter and John were out walking around, and there was this beggar guy, and he had been lame from birth, and everybody knew it. And he said, hey, listen, I need some money to eat. That's the only way. There's no social security. There was no welfare. There was none of that. And he says, I need some money so that I can eat. And that's how beggars would actually live, is people would be compassionate toward them and give them some money. And what did Peter and John do? They didn't give him a crisp $10 bill. They didn't take him to the McDonald's and buy him and eat. You know what they said? They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give have I thee. You know this song? In the name of Jesus Christ of Galilee, rise up and walk. Anybody know this song? I'm the only one here. This is awesome. Left out to dry here. And then the song goes, and he went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Galilee, rise up and walk. So, thank you very much. So a crowd gathered. Man, this guy's been lame from birth, and these guys in the name of Jesus healed him. What's going on? And so Peter begins to preach. He begins to preach Jesus to them. He begins to preach the resurrection to them. He begins to preach that Jesus was a sacrifice for their sin. And the religious leaders didn't like it. They were threatened by that. And they called him in and said, you can't do that anymore. Now, these guys are the same guys who killed Jesus just a few days earlier. And notice what John and Peter said to these guys. Look at verse 19. But Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than God, you decide. What they were saying is, we're not paying any attention to you. I mean, he didn't say it that way, but the insult was definitely there. Verse 20, for we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Amazing boldness of these guys. An amazing boldness is born out of a vibrant faith. If you have a vibrant faith, then you are bold for Jesus. If you have a weak, undeveloped faith, then you're not going to be bold for Jesus. Listen to me. You will opt for security every time. You will opt for safety every time. You will opt for comfort every time if your faith is weak and you're not bold. Well, not these guys. They displayed boldness. And the religious authorities, in response to that, they didn't know what to do with these guys. They turned them loose, said, stop preaching, but you can go. As a matter of fact, in a couple of days, some of them were going to be hauled back in. It just happened over and over again. So as the persecution increased, their prayer increased. As difficulty increased, their prayer increased. And we're picking up in their prayer time now, Acts chapter 4, about halfway through the prayer, beginning with verse 27. For in fact, Lord, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your slaves may speak your message with complete boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's message with boldness. Now, this morning, I want to speak to you about being bold for Jesus. I want to speak to you and challenge you to be a believer who's not a coward, not one who sits back, not someone who lets somebody else do it, but you are bold for Jesus. This text gives us three instructions, three guidelines for that boldness. Number one, if we're going to be bold for Jesus, it means that each one of us must embrace the risk. It's risky to be bold. Look at verse 29. And now, Lord, consider their threats. As I said before, these were real threats. These are the same religious leaders that had murdered Jesus just a few months before. And in fact, these guys are going to be drawn back in later. They're going to be arrested again. It looks like they're going to be martyred for their faith here in just a couple of pages in the book of Acts. And before it's all over, all of the disciples were martyred for their faith. It was a risky business to be bold for Jesus. Would you be that bold? Would you be in that position to be bold for him despite the risks? These guys knew the risks and they embraced them. They knew the risks and they embraced them. Now we have a family out of our church, out of the Mira-Lagos campus, Jody and Rebecca Ray. And God led them to plant their lives in a place called Pakistan. They're in Pakistan right now. It's listed as one of the five most dangerous spots on the face of the earth to be a Christian. And they're conducting Christian ministry there. And when they went there, they knew it was going to be difficult. When they went there, they knew it was going to be risky. There's the possibility that any one of them or all four of them could be martyred for their faith, even as I speak right now. Their little son, Josiah, has been sick since they got there. And we've been praying for Josiah. And they have to ask themselves, I know they ask it, you know, they make the statement, we knew this would happen. We knew that Satan would oppose us. Anytime you go into the darkness, there is going to be opposition. And right now, that opposition is showing up in their young son, Josiah. Join me as I pray for them. But they know the risks, they knew the risks, and they embraced the risk. Pastor Carlos was telling me this story a couple of years ago. So where he ministers in Plan del Pino is between three drug lords. When we go into this area, we're in vehicles that are marked with the church logo so they don't kill us or rob us or kidnap us. And so he is ministering to the children of these drug lords, and they've grown to respect him, even while other people in this area are being killed on the streets all the time. And so Pastor Carlos, one day, he's sitting in his little office and knock at the door, and somebody said, "Pastor Carlos, so-and-so is here," and it was one of the drug lords. And so Pastor Carlos is like, "Oop, this could be the day." And so the drug lord comes in, and what had happened is Pastor Carlos, somebody stole the battery out of his truck because there's no parking lot. They just park on the streets. Somebody had stolen the battery out of Pastor Carlos's truck. So they bought another battery, and that was okay. But the drug lord, it comes in, and I'm going to try to imitate Pastor Carlos as he tells me this story. He says, the man says, "Pastor Carlos." "Yes, sir." He said, we know who stole your battery." He said, "Okay." He said, "That's okay. We kill him for you." Carlos goes, no, you don't need to do that." He goes, "Oh, no problem, Pastor. We will kill him for you." Pastor Carlos had to talk him out of it. That's the environment that this man ministers in. He knows the risks, and he embraces them. Now, I don't know how risky it is for us. It's 21st century Americans getting riskier, right, as the darkness advances. But not many of us have been fired for our faith. Not many of us have been destitute because of our faith. Not many of us have been beaten for our faith. Not many of us face death every day because of our faith. But that doesn't mean that we can't be bold for our faith. That doesn't mean that we can't be bold for Jesus. Just think of the opportunities we have, you have to be bold where you live, where you work, where you play. I was reminded last night, we were out to dinner with Pastor Carlos and Jacqueline and Eric and Stephanie Phillips, who used to be the worship leader here for 12 years, and Greg Frona, who is in, flew in. He used to be on our staff here, a big part of Rush Creek in the past, and now he's serving up in Kansas City, flew in for tonight. So anyway, we're out to dinner last night, and the waiter, I always ask the wait staff when they come, I ask what their name is. Sometimes they'll wear it, and I'm so blind I have to ask him anyway. So I asked him what his name is. He said Kobe. So when he comes back and brings the drinks, I said, "Hey, Kobe, we're getting ready to pray for our food. Is there anything that we can pray for you about?" Now, you might think that's a small thing, but even as a pastor, I kind of have to screw up a little bit of courage to kind of interject something into the normal flow of things. And after all of these years of doing this, I've never had anybody say, "Nah, I'm really offended that you asked me." Now, so anyway, I asked Kobe last night, and he said, "Yeah, I could use prayer." He said, "I just moved up here from Tyler. I have an 18-month-old. I've moved up here to be with his mother. I'm trying to find my way. I need guidance. I need the Lord's presence, all this kind of stuff. And I don't know that he's a believer. I don't know what his status is. All I know is that conversation and one when he brought the bill was an opportunity for me to share the light in a situation that required for me to be a little bit bold. You can do this. Being bold where you live, work, and play. Being bold enough to engage somebody in a gospel conversation. Being bold to step up and take a leadership role here at Rush Creek. Being bold even in your generosity. It's not easy. It's always easier to go for security and comfort, right? But to be bold during Unleashed, now that is something that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord. Sue and I have been struggling. I say struggling. We've been praying over and discussing Unleashed for almost a year. I read in my journal yesterday, we started on January the 11th. November the 11th of last year, 2016, coming up on a year. And the one question that we've had to ask ourselves over and over again, it just is, are we going to have enough left? If we do this, if we're generous and we put down on this card what the Lord has put on our hearts, are we going to have enough to live on? Because we're older than dirt and we're not far from being on Social Security. And God keeps bringing up, "Well, remember when I did this? Remember when you didn't have this and I provided that? And remember when?" And so we're going to be bold We're going to put down a number that makes no sense. Bold in our faith, bold in our surrender, bold in our generosity. A disciple of Jesus is bold. Being bold for Jesus means embracing the risk. Number two, enhance. It means to enhance our prayer. Look at verse 29. "And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your slaves may speak your message with complete," what's the word there? Boldness. Say it again. Bold. Say it boldly, all right? Here you go. Boldness.
Boldness.
And what did they pray for? Did they pray for security? Yes or no? They pray for safety. They pray for comfort. Would you? You bet. That's what Americans, that's what we're into. Safety, security, comfort, right? But not this early church, not this early band of believers. They didn't pray for safety, security, and comfort. They prayed for boldness. That was their prayer over and over and over again. And we've said from the beginning that Unleashed is about going on a prayer journey. It's about going on a prayer journey and saying, God, whether you come a little here at Rush Creek or you come a lot here, God, what is your role for us? What is your role for me in Unleashed? It's something that happens only as you pray and as you listen and as you respond in obedience to what God says when you pray to Him. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I've sensed that I need to take my game up. I need to be more sensitive to the Spirit. I need to know what to do. And so I add to my prayer this thing called fasting. Has anybody ever fasted spiritually? I'm not talking about a diet. I'm talking about praying, fasting spiritually. Have you done that? Anybody? Raise your hand. 5 or 6, 15 of you. Good. Did you know it's biblical? Did you know that it's a spiritual discipline just as much as prayer and reading the Bible? Fasting. And so I'm inviting you on this side of making a decision about being bold in your generosity commitment. I'm inviting you to pray and add to your prayer fasting. So I fasted from something in August that I really like, and then I'm in a 100-day fast of something else I really like. And I'm also fasting from solids for 30 days during Unleashed. And then probably when we get around November the 10th, 11th, or 12th, I'll probably fast from everything but just water. And what that does is it adds power. Anytime you fast, number one, you tell your flesh, you remind your flesh that the things of this world are not important. You discipline the flesh so that you can do things that are more spiritual. Number two, it helps you pray more. Because every time my stomach rumbles, every time I'm out to dinner like last night and everybody else is eating steak and chicken and chicken fried steak and I'm eating soup, it reminds me to pray. And then thirdly, when you add prayer, fasting to your prayer, it adds a power to it. You see this all the way through the scripture. So I invite you to pray with fasting. Find something to fast from. Fast from your favorite TV show, maybe during this time. Spend that time in prayer. Maybe fast at lunch. Just skip lunch and go to a quiet place and pray and say, God, what is your role for me? Pray for our church. Pray for your own boldness in so many different areas. Pray. Enhance your prayer life. Let Unleash take your prayer life to a whole new level. You know, the staff is praying every Wednesday at 11:30. And so we invite you to join us. You can join us in the upstairs of the Compassion Center, or you can just join us wherever you are. Just set your alarm on your watch or your phone so that you could join us. You maybe not pray the whole 30 minutes, but pray for 5 or 10 minutes for yourself and for our church. And then we're going to have this prayer vigil coming up November 10th and 11th between 3 p.m. on Friday to 3 p.m. on Saturday. You'll have a chance here in the next week or two to begin to sign up for segments of that. You'll come up here. We'll have prayer stations for you. Every time we do this, people talk about how life-changing it is. And so all of that ahead of you. Let me encourage you to go on a prayer journey. Now, part of the journey is tonight. We have five of the Rush Creek on the Roads this August and September, and we had about 1,200 of you, 1,200 of our servant leaders show up and commit to be here tonight. So they have been kind of on the front end of this long before you were, many of you anyway. And so they're going to be here tonight, and most of them are chomping at the bits to make their commitment known and turn in their commitment card. But even if you don't know what that is, and even if you weren't a part of those Rush Creek on the Roads, we want you to come tonight. It's going to be awesome. It will be part of the prayer journey for you to hear the Lord, to decide what He wants you to do for Unleashed, for the church, for His gospel, for Him. So being bold means you embrace the risk. This is a risky thing. Number two, you enhance your prayer life. And number three, you elevate your expectations. Look at verse 30. While you stretch out your hand for healing, signs, and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They had an expectation that God would do the amazing signs and miracles and wonders. Signs and miracles and wonders above and beyond all that they ever asked or thought. And God was doing amazing things there. Their expectations were really, really high. Now, what would this look like at Rush Creek? Signs and miracles and wonders. The amazing, God doing the amazing at Rush Creek. You know, I think it was 3 weeks ago, we prayed for little Kinsley Oldenburg. This was Scott Oldenburg's first grandchild, born without a heartbeat, not breathing. The doctors had found in the diagnostics that looked like the little baby had brain damage, central nervous system, possibly damage in the organs. We prayed, God heard our prayers, and little Kinsley is 100% okay this morning. Despite all of that, isn't that amazing? Hey, listen, folks. I want more of that. I want more of God doing amazing things in our church. I want more people stepping out of the darkness, getting saved, and standing in His glorious light. I want more marriages being rescued. I want more people in the baptismal waters. I want more children following after Jesus. I want more people passionately praying, praising Him and singing at the top of their lungs and being much more exuberant here on Sunday morning than they are at any stadium, anytime, anywhere on the face of the earth. I want more of that. Do you? For some of us, our expectations are pretty low. What are your expectations at Rush Creek? That you find the chair that you want to sit in? That you get to go to the service that you want to get to go to? That the temperature and the volume are suitable for you? Is that your expectation? That you attend when you want to attend? That you give when you want to give? For many of us at Rush Creek, that expectation bar is so low. Unleashed comes along in the life of a church, in your life, to enable you to take your expectation game up. We will not be the church God wants us to be as long as so many of us have an expectation of what God is going to do that is so low. Number three. I already said number three. Let me read verse 31. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak God's message with what? Boldness. I love that. They were praying, and what happened? The place shook. The place shook. I've been praying for a shaking. I've been praying for a shaking of Rush Creek for 4.5 years. I don't know what it's going to take. But I'm praying for a shaking that rocks our world. And I know part of this component is Unleashed. I know partly what He's going to use is Unleashed. He will if you and I will cooperate with Him. Boldness. This is a risky thing. Embrace it. Pray. Expect God to do mighty things in your life. Don't count on business as usual. Don't take the safe road, the comfortable road. After that horrible experience, Jim Elliott's wife, Elizabeth, was going through his belongings and came across his journal. And inside his journal, Jim Elliot had written this: "No one is a fool who gives away what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot give away and taken from him." No one is a fool who gives away what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. I don't know what's going to happen with Jody and Rebecca Ray and their kids. I don't know which of us may be called on to risk our lives for the sake of the gospel. But I do know that nothing is more biblical, nothing is more true than what Jim Elliot says. Because we spend our lives investing time and money and stuff that's going to be gone like that and will offer us no benefit in the life to come. And yet every minute, every moment, every ounce of energy, every penny we invest in kingdom work will last forever, and we will benefit for eternity. Bold. Boldness for the Lord. Let's pray about that. God, I just pray that the people of Rush Creek, that we move away from thinking that this church is a good church. It's just not really important. What's important, are we a bold church? Are we vibrant? Are we willing to risk and sacrifice and surrender? Are we willing to say no to or delay our own needs for the sake of the gospel, our own desires for your sake? So God, I'm preaching, I'm praying, I'm calling on your Holy Spirit to shake every person here. Shake us, God, until we do what you want us to do. And I ask it in your name. Amen.